Blog Talk Radio.
African family, be ready to share when we come right back. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Distinct weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will at that time be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as suggestions for future topics. listening to program. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's conversation is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of Ulu. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Peace, Sister Q, and I'm excited. I'm so always excited to be with this beautiful family and beautiful sisters like you and the beautiful brothers heard around the world. Okay.
We're looking forward to the information that you will be sharing with us tonight, Brother Thurman. So what's in the news that you want to share with the family tonight, Brother Thurman? Why do I keep calling you Sherman? Okay, Brother Thurman.
Yes.
What would you share?
Got a few things. And first, I want to say that what's in the news is a monthly conversation where we ask you, our African family, to contribute 5 minutes of information that is vital to the liberation of our minds. And, of course, our overall lifestyle will change or elevate as we feed the mind liberating knowledge. And thoughts and liberating knowledge as well as thoughts and behaviors will change. And we don't have all of the answers here because we need each other. And your participation in the conversation will help the family to elevate. And with that said, so every first Thursday, Dare to Win call, it's scheduled at What's in the News African Family. That would be the topic, and we invite you to look forward to it and bring 5 minutes or something that will help to elevate our thinking and move us more closer to being liberated and being liberated once again and maintaining our liberation. And I'll start off just mentioning that among the things, there's vast numbers of things in the news, and we need to, on a regular basis, be sharing it with each other and helping to, in whatever way I was deficient in whatever I talked about, we need your part to help bring greater clarity of whatever I may have talked about. That's the way we should be circling up and putting our minds together, our heads together. A major ongoing problem that's still escalating because of confused beings and because of corrupt beings is intent of continuing to pollute the minds of the people as well as pollute the entire environment, including the air, the water, the land, the food, and the entire universe. And that's a very serious problem. And with the on the part of African people, when we have been intentionally through schools and other sources that should be properly educating us and they're miseducating us, there's too many of us that are disconnected with the environment, with the earth, and they participate in polluting our minds as well as polluting the environment. And I have observed for many years when I was, I believe, 24 years old, if I hadn't already started looking at it then, people with land just doing foul things to their land, you know, letting gasoline pour on the ground around a well. And one farmer told me that he said, you know how deep down in the ground my well is? He said, this gasoline will never get there, and that's not true. And so I don't want to stay on that. And one of the things that's we're in a state of emergency, and there's many, many horror stories that we are faced with, and the babies are coming forward, and all of us, regardless of age, are faced with. But one of the horror stories, and we invite you to bring forth your higher knowledge, things that will help us, but we also have to know about the horror stories and don't dwell on it a whole lot, but we need to know that it exists, and then what we do in the proper fashion is take corrective action. And one of the dangerous horror stories is marijuana edibles. And there, if you search, you can find, and I search as well as talking to people, you can find evidences of severe things that's been done to harm the people's minds and not just to have them confused and intoxicated, but also at the risk of their life, and some have died. And there's a company called BurkeRecovery.com, and you can find it on the internet, spelled B-U-R-K-E, BurkeRecovery.com. And they posted a meme that says, "Danger, danger, your high lasts longer," that's with the edibles, "but your death lasts forever." And they and others and other people that have published the results of people that consume the edibles, that this company deals with people that have addictions and things along that line. But they have actually witnessed people that have had that have died from the consuming the edibles, because the edibles, many of them, and you just don't know which, and so you have to be very, very careful about what you eat, unless you really know who it is. And in edibles, with the horror story, we should just take that off of our menu. We shouldn't consume it at all, because there's strands that's being made to just destroy your ability to function. And I have talked to people that witnessed a man that ate edible, and he ended up with cardiac arrest in the hospital, and they had to take severe action to, if he didn't die, but if he didn't, they had to get a very severe situation. And others that I have talked to that told me that they ate an edible, and they were so glad mm-hmm. that they didn't have to leave to go anywhere, because they were not able to function for hours. And for some people, the experience would be that whether it took an hour or two for that high to come forward, it will just put you in a state of mind that you would know that if you had somewhere to go home, go to work, whatever, that driving would mm-hmm. be just out of the question, because you wouldn't be able to function. If you did, you'd be sure to wreck and or get pulled over. And if you did mm-hmm. get in the car and realize that you couldn't make it, then you're subject to pull over on the side of the road, and then you may be encountered by the police or want to know why you're there. And then you may get mm-hmm. arrested, and you might get shot. But this is all from consuming these intoxicating edibles, and some people are making them so potent that even a teaspoon would be too much if you ate just a teaspoon of an edible, you know, and so edibles, you know, are much bigger than a teaspoonful. But it's a horror story. They have had children that have to be rushed away from school because they ate some in school, and it's damaging to the mind. And just as a reference, there was a posting that talked about edibles that are put in cookies and cheese doodles and other things that people would buy. That it's in packaging like you'd find in a grocery store, but it's mm-hmm. really not straight from the grocery store. This particular warning says, "Warning issued about cannabis edibles that look like well-known snacks." And then it goes on to talk about a number of state attorney generals issued a warning of the dangers of cannabis edibles in packaging meant to look like well-known snacks. And somebody mm-hmm. commented that this is a genius idea to use known products to promote drugs use in the children. And they said this is beyond dangerous. And another article that talked about pregnant women who mm-hmm. were exposed to cannabis products that contained THC and CBD are more likely to have children with increased fat mass and blood sugar levels at age 5, a new pilot study found. And using cannabis in pregnancy is linked to aggression and anxiety in children, a study suggests. Mm-hmm. And there's this misconception that cannabis is safe. And that, and I repeat that, a misconception that cannabis is safe. And it goes on to talk about pregnancy and other problems that it's causing for pregnant women and their babies. And we as people, and it's in lollipops and things, and there are those of us on the telephone is old enough to know that it's not something new. It's just a new subject. It's this time it's cannabis. But years and years ago, people would go to parties and they'd have a punch bowl and it looks like punch, but it has been spiked with alcohol and sometimes other things. Mm-hmm. And so now there are people that are devious enough, perverted enough to put stuff in the edibles, and it could be more, and I'm sure it would be, some of them would put more than just cannabis, but just cannabis alone with some of these mutated and artificial strands are so potent that just a little bit, a spoonful could just put you in a state that you could still know who you are. But when it comes to functioning and being able to carry on a conversation like you normally would and to move like you normally would, you know, to walk through your house or wherever out in your yard, it would. And it's so potent that unlike people that years ago would smoke a marijuana cigarette, it can stay with people for hours. And I mean hours, I'm talking about into all night long and you wake up the next morning and it's still there. And people have said, how do I get rid of this? And I can't say that it's not a way to get rid of it quickly, but it would make people that want to beg and say, if you give me something I can take to get rid of this, it's extreme. So it's a living horror story, and our people cannot afford any more horror stories. We're in a state of emergency, and there's lots and lots of horror stories, and we need to minimize and get away from everything that's puts us in danger and the babies. And it sets a tone that if I'm consuming edibles and acting high, the babies, the children, everybody is watching. And so we've got to rise up in our consciousness and represent as African people on a high level. And so in the history of African people, there was periods called the high culture period. We got to represent high culture and getting high with artificial means when you can experience euphoria from natural means and not be out of your mind, not be where you couldn't drive, not be where you're contributing to the illnesses of babies that are about to be born and illnesses to yourself included. Because the real deal is smoking. Just on the note of smoking still tars up your lungs like cigarettes do. It's a different substance, you might say, but it still creates tar in your lungs. And
Hold on a minute, Brother Thurman. We have a caller, so I'm going to take that, and then you can go to the next thing.
Yes.
Okay, caller with the last four digits, 3440, state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
Yeah, greetings and good evening, Sister Q and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Shabaka calling from southern Florida. And you hit on an extremely important topic, but I got to share my experience. Unbeknown to myself. And this is relatively recent. When I say relatively recent, I'm talking about within the last couple of years. I had and ate a pie, you know, over one of my relatives. I didn't know, you know, it was just a piece of pie. I said, well, it's a pie, so I ate the pie. I was informed later that it was one of the edibles, and it was that the pie had cannabis in it. Let me tell you, for a week, all right, I could not function. My balance was off. My stomach was upset. All right, I took whatever I could to try to retain my balance, to get it back, to feel this upset, but it eventually wore off after a week. And even up till the day, now this has been about a couple of years ago, my balance is still not 100%. Now, that's serious. You know, I mean, it's almost back to normal. But, you know, I sometimes have to consciously, you know, watch my steps, okay?
Right.
Well, I'm getting old, but I'm not that old, all right? I have to consciously watch my steps. So what Brother Thurman is saying is extremely important. Some people, you know, say, well, it's a natural this, a natural that. Yeah, it has its purpose. But the way it is promoted and propagandized in this country, all right, is not necessarily for health as much as it is, you know, in order to rise up the stock market and the commercial aspect of it, all right? And that's what the aim is. Remember now, this is being conjured up by Europeans. I mean, it's not black folks talking about, you know, doing the research and doing this. These are Europeans saying, all right, it's now, we got medical stuff here. And we got the marijuana farms. We can sell it here on the West Coast, you know, freely. You can buy it as a medication, or you can buy it, you know, you could just smoke it, you know. But it's extremely dangerous, and I have my own personal testimony. And like I said, even after 2 years, mistakenly picking and thinking that I was consuming a piece of pie, you know. Filled, you know, I don't know how much it was filled with it, but I learned afterwards, you know, that it had been exposed to marijuana. And so we have to be extremely careful with anything that's promoted. We have to think twice. If the European saying is all right, you know, we have to assume he's lying.
For sure.
And if we find out he's telling the truth after our investigation, all right, he told the truth this time. But you got to assume that he's lying on every aspect. When it comes to COVID, when it comes to even the effects of climate change as he is describing it, you got to assume that he's not exactly telling the exact truth. And we would be good to have our own scientists who can go back and investigate. But see, his thing is, you know, like they're coming out with the electric car, you know, to say that it's going to reduce emissions as a consequence of that, not knowing that the material that they use in order to make the batteries for the electric car comes out of the Congo, and people over there are working like slaves in order to try to make a living just so that they can feed that industry. You understand what I'm saying? So we cannot assume anything that comes out of this boy's mouth as the truth. We have to investigate. And that's all I need to say, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to vent.
Thank you very much for sharing that, your experience, Brother Shabaka. I was suspicious when the when it turned out that some of the pharmaceutical companies had gotten patents for marijuana, for cannabis. And then they started coming with the medical marijuana. And then they had marijuana that did this and marijuana that did that and marijuana that did the next thing. And I was wondering, you know, why all of a sudden you can't just get a plant out of somebody's backyard, or because marijuana is basically a weed. So why you can't just pull up a weed? Why you have to go to a medical dispensary or whatever? But apparently it's genetically modified, and so we're going to have different problems with it that we never had in the past. Thank you for sharing that. Anything further you want to say? On that, Brother Thurman.
Yes, I also thank Brother Shabaka for sharing with the family, because it's vital that we hear testimonies from everybody that's got testimonies, and that's a powerful one. And he stated the effects afterwards, and And I'm looking at where marijuana can increase the risk of adverse effects later in life. That's what it says, and this is with a prevention collaborative company. And it's
let me ask you a
good
question, brother. You know, right now CBD is a big money maker, and it's allegedly some kind of product of marijuana. Is that included in all of the, I mean, do they make CBD edibles and all that other stuff? Is that part of the concern that you're talking about with the edible marijuana or marijuana in general?
Well, the CBD is supposed to be low in THC that gets you high or either not happen, but the danger is that you're going to put something that mimics something that is dangerous. And so if there are CBD edibles that would not get you high and have you where you can't think, can't walk, can't drive, and it doesn't have long-term adverse effects later in life, it's still, if you put a CBD edible out there in the store, either at a gathering with people and you don't know which is which, the best thing is not to do it at all. CBD has helped people with epilepsy and other things, but it's got to be used properly. So like you said, marijuana has been known as being a weed, but you could also classify it as a herb. And in the proper fashion historically, and before the invaders came along, it was used as a herb of the leaves, and so it's just like in Africa, you got moringa and you've got baobab tree leaves that are used for healing in very good way in a number of things, including moringa moringa seeds, I believe it is, to help clarify stagnant water. But as Professor I in Jamaica some years ago, when he was interviewed about his diet, which is all raw plant-based, and he said one of the things I never do it, food is put fire to it. So then they asked him about marijuana, and he said, yes, I use it. He said, but just like the food, I never put fire to it. And another powerful thing he says is related to what we're talking about tonight. He says, you see those people out there, and he was pointing to the people in the community. He said, they're smoking this stuff that's got poison in it. He said, I go up in the hills and get it fresh and raw, wildcrafted by nature as it have been for millions of years. And he and people that use it in a wise fashion use it fresh and raw in food and in tea for healing purposes, not to get intoxicated and be tripping and laughing at people. So we got to make the distinction. And it's a horror story. And, you know, another piece of knowledge says that some teenagers they've shown an 8-point drop in IQ. Now, can African people in school afford a drop in IQ? Absolutely not. We are born geniuses, but they're messing us up. High school seniors who smoke are 60% more likely to get in a car crash. We can't afford that. And so the edibles, in our right mind, we should just completely get that. We should be living in a fashion where we can just get high on being with each other. And, you know, I mean, the African village, you know, when the drummers and the dancers every evening after they eat and storytelling and the people are dancing, they dancing out of passion that they're high off of the music and the sound and their dance expression. And dance itself can get you into a euphoria, and that's another story. And another thing that, because we're talking about edibles and we also talk about the danger to the fetus as well as to the mother, pregnant mother, this is not about edibles, but it's about pregnant mothers. And something that we need to know, and as I said in the beginning of the call, it's a time for us, all of us on this call around the world, to call in and share some vital knowledge with each other. Pieces about when pregnant, the cells of the baby migrate into the mother's bloodstream and then circle back into the baby. It's called fetal material microchimerism. For 41 weeks, the cells circulate and merge backwards and forward. And after the baby is born, many of these cells stay in the mother's body, leaving a permanent imprint in the mother's tissues, bones, brain, and skin, and often stay there for decades. Every single child a mother has afterwards will leave a similar imprint in her body, too. Even if a pregnancy doesn't go full term or if you have an abortion, these cells still migrate into the bloodstream. Research has shown that if a mother's heart is injured, fetal cells will rush to the site of the injury and change it into different types of cells that specialize in mending the heart. And these cells would then coming from the baby to the mother's heart. The baby helps repair the baby helps repair the mother while the mother builds the baby. How cool is that? This is often why certain illnesses vanish while pregnant. Mm-hmm. And it's another piece to add to that. And it says, it's incredible how mother's body protects the baby at all costs, and the baby protects and rebuilds the mother's so that the baby can develop safely and survive. And then it goes on to talk about, think about crazy cravings for a moment. What was the mother deficient in that the baby made them crave? And a lot of times if there's a craving, the real craving is not about a particular junk food, but because the junk food had small amounts of some nutrients, and really what they needed was nutrients and not the junk food. Studies have shown If you're a mom and you know how you can intuitively feel your child even when they are not there, well, now there's scientific proof that moms carry them for years and years even after they have given birth to them. And then the article ends by saying, this is so beautiful. And so we can't afford to be playing Russian roulette with our babies and with none of us. We can't afford that. We got to let go of foolishness. We've got to come back and represent as a people well to ourselves and the rest of the world. Sister Q, before I move on to something else that's also related to our wellness and also being naturally high, just want to stop and pause if anybody got any questions or comments.
I don't see anything on the board. I'll say it again. If you want to join the conversation, call 929-477-2789. Press the 1 on your phone, and we'll see your hand raised, and your mic will be open. There's somebody there. Hold on. Somebody is there.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good
evening.
My name is O.C. Moore, and I got a question. Maybe, you know, just me have noticed something about new births. I see in the black family that it's a lot of girls being born, and the boys are homosexual. Is something happening in the treatment of our black women when they go for their checkups with these doctors about pregnancy? I was born in the house. I didn't take no vaccines. I did all of that. I didn't have a chance to get that. I'm 80 years old at this time. And they talk about, see, they want to put a lot of black people on dialysis. I'm not going on a dialysis. I don't want to live so bad that I would spend 15 hours or more a week on a machine that somebody else is controlling my life. Like they God.
True.
So I just want to say that.
Yes, brother, and we appreciate it. See, the family needs the issues, the two things you brought up, you know, about the babies being born as well as the dialysis. And just on the dialysis, I can speak from a natural health perspective. Our people in general almost never and didn't have dialysis until they took on the diet of processed food and processed hormone-laden and disease-laden animals. And the answer, the solution for us as a people when it comes to dialysis is stop, eat the plant-based, be well diet. And the ones that do it get tremendously good results. And the ones that participate in the diet that will make you sick, they also get good results. And so if you study this, the statistics of the increase in the growth of the kidney dialysis places that's all over the world, it only increased because of people and their diet and their lifestyle. And the diet is contributing to the things that's happening to the baby. The things that they're injecting into the women in the hospitals is contributing to the some deficiencies and changes in the genetics of the baby. And also it's in the food that people eat, and especially the processed, chemicalized food, whatever food it is. So if it's plant-based, if it's poison, it's still poison. It may be better being plant-based, but it's still poison. And so the solution, and you mentioned it, you were born not in a hospital. And so the solution, and that's why there are sisters and some brothers, but lots of sisters that are stepping up as doulas and midwives, that are absolutely saying, no, I would not go in that hospital. And they're banding together and having, there's a sister that if she didn't have it today, in the next couple of days, she's a doula, her name, and she's on Facebook. Her name is, she's rough when she talks, but she's extremely knowledgeable, and she's an herbalist, and her name is Crystal, spelled with a K, Alkaline Doula. And brother, the subject that you brought up is something that we need to spend some time on, and that's why it's valuable when we come to the circle that some things we need to write it on the board and we need to come back to it the next time to specifically talk about that. But I hope I provided something for you to work with.
You did, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And thank you, brother. And all family, right. That brother just showed how beautiful it is as we come together and talk.
Yeah, regarding the question about more girls being born than boys and the boys being having a tendency toward homosexuality, we have in the Western culture now a predominantly estrogen-based diet, which would lean toward more women and the men having a lack of testosterone or low testosterone level. I think that is being deliberately done. If you notice, men now, the young men now are not as, I would say, virile, or I want to use the word manly, but that, I don't know, people might not understand what I mean by that. But the young men now tend to seem to be softer than men in the past. Like the brother said, he's 80 years old. I'm imagining that he could see the difference between men of his father's generation, his generation, his son's generation, and the young men that we have walking now. I see it. And I was actually led to try to figure out what was going on. And it is something also, too, with those, we're told they're prenatal vitamins, you know, that mm-hmm. they give the mothers. We don't know what's in that stuff. They tell us it's vitamins. It could be hormone disruptors to create homosexuality and hormonal imbalance in males and females. So there's another reason, you know, not to deal with these people during pregnancy or any other time. You know, you were mentioning about the dialysis machines and the kidney problems, the drugs that they give us for various other conditions lead to kidney failure. So it's kind of like, you know, the guy on the corner that will give you a free drug. You get your first one free, and then you get addicted, and you got to keep coming back. It's pretty much the same corporate model with the disease management system. You know, you go for your free checkup, and then they tell you that you have some condition that you need to have medication for, and you start taking the medication, and the medication destroys your body, and you wind up, you know, on dialysis, or with cancer, or with something else. So, again, the best idea is to stay as far away from those people as you can. Don't get your free checkup, because it's not going to work out well for you in the long run.
Yes, you're so right. And you said earlier when you started talking about this that you thought it was intentional, and there's lots of para-intentional stuff. And just for example, as a world billionaire, that decades ago was the first time that he did it, and he continues to do it and will continue to do it if he can get away with it right now, have gone to Africa, and this has been publicized stuff. And He went there smiling like he does, and smiling at the African people that thought he was a savior, because we've got a complex about some savior that ain't a savior. And He told the African women that they needed to get an injection so that they wouldn't get smallpox. And what was found more than one time, and he's not the only one to have done this, but what was found more than one time was that the injection had in it a chemical that would sterilize the woman, and they wasn't told. And some of them were childbearing age, and they didn't get pregnant because of the chemical. So the ones that were intentionally make sure that 20 and 30-year-old sisters do not get pregnant, also have the capability, because they're already in that mindset, to put chemicals in things and use artificial intelligence. And there's people that's on the line right now. We came back on another call to talk about what they're doing to manipulate genes, including making more effeminized males. And so if you look up the effeminization of black males, it's a serious topic that's been out there among those that are studying. And one of them that you can look for that have written extensively and speaks extensively on it, and he's on Facebook, his name is Mwalimu Baruti, but just Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. If you type that in, you'd find him, and you'd be able to find his book list. But one of them is about the feminization and the sex imperative, I believe that's the title of one of his many, many, couple of dozen maybe books. And another thing that I was going to get into, so we got to take corrective action when it comes to whatever they're doing. And if we've got brothers, as you were talking about, Sister Q, that are soft in ways that they didn't used to be, part of it has got to do with the chemicals that's being put in the water, in the air, maybe sprayed from the air, as well as eating foods that's got things that modify your sexual genetics, but it also takes away from your sexual strength. And if brothers are sexually weak, that's for two purposes. One of them is to bring forth life and to continue to grow the family, and for, you know, good loving relationship between a complement, your opposite sex complement. And among the things that I wanted to touch on with the time we got left is that we got to, as Francis Welsing said, we got to get our mind on the black side of the chessboard. And whenever they make a move, whether it's about effeminization or about edibles, we got to counter their move to keep them from continuing checkmate us. And when it comes to the sex stamina, for example, and this applies to sisters and brothers, there are yoga exercises that increase sexual stamina. And before I go into that, when I talked about the mother's cells that circulate back and forth between the mother and the child, the fetus, and how a mother could have a problem with her heart and the baby's intelligence already knows to circulate some cells to the mother from the baby, and the heart problem could go away. And as the article went on to say, that certain ills while pregnant disappear because of what circulated from the baby. Well, I wanted to say that what I read is on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, and I believe it was posted May the 2nd about the mothers and the baby's cells circulating back and forth. So if you wanted to read it or use it as a reference to take it to other people and do further research on it, it's on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page. And also what I'm getting ready to talk about is, this is a little bit about yoga. It's also on the May 2nd Us Lifting Us Facebook page. And part of it is that there are yoga exercises, there's several of them, more than seven, that you can do that strengthens and keeps strong, but also helps to increase your sexual stamina. And there's, if it's something, it will be easier to go to Us Lifting Us page to look at the poses, but one of them is called the child's pose, and there's others that I'm familiar with, and sitting cross-legged like you're used to seeing, they call it the lotus pose with cross-legged, where people meditate from that position, but it also reduces tension and increases stamina. And there's one that's called a child's pose. It's kind of like a child, you know, folding their arms to the side and just laying with the knees bent, but it helps to fight fatigue and stress, and it helps with the stamina. But it's called the child's pose. But as I said, it's on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, and I believe it's dated May the 2nd. And when I mentioned earlier about the edibles and why I consumed some chemical, as it is now, mutated, man-made, high-octane kind of stuff, we can get some euphoria. We don't need to get wasted and tripping and acting crazy, but we can get euphoria from many things. Dancing is one of them that I mentioned, but yoga exercises, meditation does that, but also breathing. Deep breathing can put you into another state, but it also can bring in nutrients that would nourish the body that's in the air all the time. But when we're doing shallow breathing, you don't get that. And just on the note about proper deep breathing, there's a sister in Maryland named Sister Ayo. And Sister Ayo has been teaching about the breath for decades. And for those that don't know, Sister Ayo, in I believe it was the 10th of this month, her husband of 22 years, Brother John, made his transition. But Sister Ayo is somebody that's going to continue to still be doing the work that she's been doing for many years. And they're having a memorial, probably two different ones, but one of them might be this weekend. But Sister Ayo Handy Keedy, I believe that's her last name. Some people on the call know who Sister Ayo is because she's traveled all over the country and all over the world teaching about the breath.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes. Any questions or comments, anything on I've said so far?
No, there's nothing on the board right now, so you can continue.
Yes. And as I said a minute ago, and repeating what Ancestor Francis Wilson said, we got to get our mind focused on our liberation and on the right side of the chessboard. And we got to stop allowing what they do, but whatever they do, we got to take corrective action. It takes us nowhere to fuss and cuss about what they're doing and then just go back and get high and eat an edible. What is functionable is that we take action to correct it, and we correct our lives. And so it's just like the brother that talked about the dialysis. We can cause the dialysis centers to massively close in the next few weeks by changing our diet. And there are people in working with healers and corrective nourishing diet that have gotten off of dialysis in some instances.
But, right.
So there's opportunities there for us to get on the higher side, the elevated side of thinking and living, and we would have less problems. And so the brother talked about not being born in the hospital. We can put a stop to it, stop taking the babies to the hospital. And the sister, Crystal Alkaline Doula, have been saying for many, many weeks that her child, her son, has been telling her that he didn't want to be born inside. Definitely not a hospital, because she wouldn't do it anyway, because she have helped, I believe, 1,000 sisters, you know, give birth and help them with complications. And because she's an herbalist, she's also helped sisters and brothers that were having fertility problems through the use of herbs that she formulated. And but her son told her he did not want to be inside. And so she agreed, and she's a bold sister, and she knows that our body needs the nourishment of the sun, and the sun should channel all parts of our body from head to toe and between our legs included. And if she didn't have it today, the fifth, it'll be in the next day or two, but in agreement with what her son spoke to her, through silent power of no nonverbal communication, he said, "I want to be outside. So when I come out into the world, that the afterbirth and everything, all of the material that comes out with him, he said, I want it to go back to the earth where it belongs." So just like, for example, there are sisters that had to argue and holler, and sometimes they didn't get results when they said they gave birth in the hospital, and this has been going on for years, and they wanted the placenta. And the hospital said, no, you can't have that. But then a lot of us don't know that there's an industry that uses the placenta for various things. And, that's another episode, but I do know that there's years ago, a big-name skincare company, I communicated with them, and one of their essential ingredients in their skincare product, and they admitted to it, although they said it came from full-term babies, but one of their key ingredients was placenta.
For sure.
And so family members, we got to take corrective action in all subject areas, all areas of our life, you know, not just about not eating edibles and not just about the kidney dialysis, but we've got to be on top of things. And I did, one among the things, and this is right in line with the purpose and the mission of Us Lifting Us, is to lead us down the right path to taking corrective action with our money in our economics. And Us Lifting Us is, as well, have thoroughly investigated and studied, as well as knowing that our ancient economic economies was based off cooperative economics. And that's why any of us that are listening by telephone and by internet radio, if you have not gone to uslifingus.com and taken a very good, thorough look at Us Lifting Us, we need each other. All of us must participate in order to be liberated. And your intellectual knowledge, as well as your money, we need to be pooling intellect and money to be able to build the facilities, including birthing centers for our babies and centers where we can practice yoga and meditation and Tai Chi and things like that. That it's originally came from Africans, not from India. Not yoga did not come, and none of that stuff, and self-defense either. It originated out of the wise minds of Africans. And back on the economics, we've got to take control of the economics of our community, or we will continue to stay at the mercy of others. And as former president of Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah, said, we must unite now or perish. And he said it a long time ago, but it still applies. We must unite or perish. They will continue to have us to perish through the kidney dialysis centers and with the feminization of the brothers and they're messing the sisters up too. And Truman went on to say, yes, sister.
Go ahead. We have a final caller. I know we are almost out of time.
So, yes, go right ahead, sister.
I'm going to take this call. If I can get the computer to work here. Caller with the last four digits, 3282, please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
Give thanks and praise. Wonderful to be on here tonight. Thank you so much for all the wonderful commentary, everybody. I know we are coming to an end, but I just wanted to speak on the, as Brother was speaking on, the right actions, the uplifting energies that we must lean towards one another and the facilities that we need to build. I wanted to shed light on a great thing that happened in Virginia over the weekend. We had the state's first solar-powered community resiliency hub that was opened, and the Resiliency Community Day was recognized in the city of Petersburg, which is one of the, I'll say, battleground states where the African, formerly known as the colored troops, but I call them the African troops because they were certainly African before they were designated as colored troops, did their thing in Richmond and were part of the Liberation Army. So just highlighting that particular facility, the wonderful thing that happened this weekend. So it's just a point for us to lift up and to continue in our march forward, to stay healthy, to stay sane, to stay vigilant. Thank you for your time this evening, everyone.
Thank you, sister. Okay, Brother Thurman. Any other quick comment before we close out?
Yes, it's essential that we get our minds on the right side of the black, which is the black side of the chessboard, and put a stop. And whatever they do, we've got to counter it with corrective action. Don't spend time, you know, griping and cussing about it. Take corrective action. And us lifting us is we've got to pool our resources. Capitalism keeps us poor and busy making, and it makes us struggle to meet our basic needs. And when we are struggling to eat, to live, we can't find time or energy to be political or to organize or to disrupt this system. And it's some people can find time. You got to have strength, especially if you're well, and you got to have determination. But a lot of people definitely are overwhelmed with the effort to make basic needs. And us lifting us is in place to correct those kind of situations so that we would be building our own stores and facilities and farmers markets and clothing stores of clothes that we created and products that we created. And one of the flagship model businesses that Us Lifting Us have on the drawing board is called the Ulu Mart, that would have a farmers market, black bookstore, entertainment / movie theaters, consignment stores, and bulk buying of foods, just like you buy in the health food store. We got to have our own. We got to break free of the capitalism. And when we break free of the capitalism and we open up facilities like the Ulu Marketplace, that will be 150,000 square feet, we would also have to, and would be the right thing to do, employ our people. So then we're not out, you know, having to go through the changes working for others that don't pay us our worth, and we can employ our own to do business with things that we already need to do, and that is eating and clothing and all of these other things, the books for the knowledge, and employ our people and pay them a fair wage. It's right there in our hands. And if you have not already been to the Us Lifting Us page, a web page where you can also apply to become a member, and you have to apply first, and you have to be scrutinized or vetted to verify without a doubt that you are black African, because Us Lifting Us is legally set up to be able to demand that only black Africans could be a part of Us Lifting Us, because we don't need to, we need to be focused all on our thoughts and not be interrupted by the interrupters with their thoughts that could derail our movements. And family, I thank you so much. And Sister Q, I thank you so much, and thoroughly enjoyed being with the family tonight. And we will be back next Thursday with some more vital words. And Sister Q, you can give your closing thoughts.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to thank you, Brother Thurman, for the subject matters that you brought up. Also, the callers for their input and ideas. We look forward to having them back next month so that we can keep the conversation flowing. We want to thank everyone for joining us this evening, even those that didn't call in. Join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock p.m. for another installment of Dare to Win.
Extending across the atlas, I be at this, slipping in together on the dirty mattress. You can't match this, rapper slash actress, more powerful than two Cleopatra. Bomb graffiti on the tomb of Nefertiti, and please ain't ready to take it to the Serengeti. My rhymes is heavy like the mind of Sister Betty. El Boogie sparks with stars and constellations, then came down for a little conversation. Adjacent to the king, fear no human being. Roll with cherubim to Nassau Coliseum. Now hear this mixture with hip hop meets scripture. Develop a negative into a positive picture.
Now everything, 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 everything.